So let's get back to this patient. You decided that you wanted to start ruxolitinib. Can you talk a little bit about some of the things that go through your mind when you're about to start ruxolitinib, what you tell the patient also?
Sure. Well, I try to break the discussion down into first what to expect in terms of efficacy, and then what to expect in terms of any side effects or toxicity, and how we do monitoring. So first, in terms of efficacy, I tell the patient to hope for improvements really in their splenomegaly and symptoms, typically in a 4 to 8 week sort of time frame. And some patients can notice an improvement even in the first few days as it relates to fatigue, night sweats, itching, etc. The spleen sometimes can decrease significantly within a week or two. Some of that can be dose dependent. So those are key parts in terms of efficacy that they can really notice. Now, in terms of side effects, the medicine clearly can lower the platelet count and the red blood cell count. And that may or may not be associated with any symptoms a patient experiences with those decreases, but that is somewhat of an expected on-target effect we know with the ruxolitinib. Now, other side effects that I'll share with a patient tend to be a higher risk of herpes shingles, so that can occur. There have been rare cases of immunocompromised infections, rare cases of lymphoma, a slightly higher risk of skin cancers, non-melanoma skin cancers that have been identified. But most of the time, there's not an overtoxicity that patients feel as a typical treatment-related side effect. Most of the time, it really is the toxicity, if at all, is seen really in the complete blood count with a lower platelet count or potentially worsening of the hemoglobin or anemia.
Do you use any preemptive anti-infectives or other medications in these patients?
That's an excellent question. In general, no. One, we don't tend to see an increased risk of bacterial infections, and certainly have not seen anything that we need to use prophylaxis for. So the infections that can occur but are rare, reactivation of hepatitis. So in certain parts of the world, particularly where viral hepatitis is at a higher rate, that is something that is recommended it be screened for. Patients can have reactivation of TB, not a common issue in our typical US-based patients, but that certainly is a consideration. The most active question is with this herpes shingles issue is whether patients should receive vaccination. In the recent past, when the only vaccine was a live vaccine for HSV, in general, we were not recommending that vaccine. It was not felt to be safe in patients with an active myeloid malignancy. There's now an inactivated vaccine, and although it does not have direct testing in this population, I have been recommending it to my patients as a consideration.